Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? This is James Lopez representing for the dopest dad community out there, the Fatherhood is Lit community. And today is a special day, especially because I get to go back to my roots of educating my people. This week, we're learning about podcasting while being a dad with my homie Rich Butler of the Rage Works Podcast Network. What's good, Rich? How are you feeling, bro?
I'm good, brother. I appreciate the opportunity to being able to share some wisdom with the dads out there.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, to give the listeners some context, before we get into what you're about and who you are and, you know, the parenting side, I actually met you a long time ago when I was running with the Fat Startup Crew, where we would bring some super dope entrepreneurs to educate minorities in tech. You know, we would take these live events and we would turn them into audio and then upload them onto like YouTube or even like an audio platform before podcasting was even a thing. So
right.
You and I have been doing this for a hot minute right now. But
right.
But just because I have that experience in it doesn't mean that when it was time to redo it, I was ready. And the first person I called was actually Rich. So thank you, Rich, for helping me, bro. Seriously.
I appreciate it, man. I think that the work that you were doing in your previous life with the Fat Startup was some of the biggest and most inspirational stuff for a lot of different reasons. You know, you guys ran an event with Jason Calacanis. I remember I got to speak to him, share a little bit of my story, and, you know, he gave me some good actionable advice. I ended up just following his content from there. And, you know, he became like a person whose work I follow still sporadically here and there. You guys ended up doing a podcasting event with the late Combat Jack and Premium Pete, which was an eye opener. And I remember Combat Jack saying to me, he goes, "Damn, dude, you've been doing this for a minute. We should be asking you questions." And I just laughed, you know. But it was amazing just because here was a dude that pivoted his career entirely to double down on a concept that he believed in, you know, by doing, you know, his shows and the Combat Jack show and, you know, Premium Pete as well with his story. And, you know, stuff like that I drew inspiration from to just keep going. So even though, you know, we're coming full circle and you're doing this again, you guys gave me some nice nuggets of building blocks along the way, you know, and especially with all your Fat Startup events, you know, I connected with a lot of people from those events as well.
That's what it was about, man, making sure that people that especially minorities that look like you and I, making sure that we had access. You know, that we had access to some of these big shots. You know, you don't necessarily need a college degree or a trust fund to start a tech business. You shouldn't need those things to talk to people that are killing the game either. You know what I mean? So that was our way of balancing the playing field.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, man. So, you know, we've been doing this for a minute, man. But the podcasting game has changed so much, bro. So much.
Absolutely. It's been a long time coming after, you know, from 2006 when I started all the way through now. There's been so many evolutions, so many different things, and so many major celebrities dipping their toes in the pool that it's been shining a bigger light on podcasting, and it's been a gift and a curse for the medium.
Yeah, and I mean that's why I brought you on here, because you know all the nuances of podcasting or what's been happening as of late. But also you've been doing it, right? And the thing with podcasting is that it's changed. Cool. Everybody wants to do a podcast. That's a cool thing to do. But, yo, podcasting while you parent, yo, that shit ain't easy, bro. Listen, not easy.
even before I became a father, it was interesting because at the time, you know, I had started my regular podcast in 2006. I was basically just talking into a microphone for 3 hours at night. And then, you know, I got burned out. Then in 2009, I found out I could do a podcast live with call-ins. So signed up for the service, brought in a friend of mine to be my call screener. And then I just started doing a live show 3 hours, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Once a week and taking calls and everything else, man. And listen, you haven't been tested until you run an entire live show, take calls, and then finish the show and then edit the show. Like, I would be watching the sunrise after I was finishing the show so that I could edit and get it out.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is that, you know, the medium changed so much that that level of access changed the game even for me, because once I started being able to take calls, you know, you had listener engagement, you had guests that were able to call in. So it kind of revolutionized for me how I approached it.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the same path everybody else has to take nowadays, because with social media, everybody to some degree is accessible. Mm-hmm. You know, the DM, the Twitter DM, the Instagram DM, it opens up so many doors. You just got to make the ask. But at the same time, you have to bring something of value. And that's what it was. Like I used to say to people, listen, we're a live show. Our demographic is primarily male, 18 to 34. You know, it's 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. It's live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it was always a hard pitch to get guests, but they liked the live format. And I had guys that would come in and their publicists would be like, oh, you know, we're going to give you 15 minutes. And 15 minutes would turn into them being on a call for 45 for an hour.
Yeah, I mean, that was our, you know, when you bring value, things like that happen. Like when we had Jason Calcanis, he had promised to do, I think it was like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
And he sat, what was it? Like what we had on, like 2-3 hours?
Yeah. You know, because we ended up closing it out and everything, and he left and the event was finished.
Yeah. And it was just, and then even when the event was done, he stuck around and just chilled with us for a while. And that was like, you know, when you bring some value, things like that happen. That doesn't mean it always happens, but you get lucky.
Yep, you form a kinship with these people on a different level. And I think that that's what a lot of people, especially when you want to do podcasting, they always say you have to, and I tell people this, imagine what is your ideal listener. And the problem is that too many people, they want their ideal listener to be themselves.
So you think that's how it begins, though? Like, do you think it begins with thinking about who's going to be your ideal listener, or does it begin with the topic at hand?
Well, it should begin with the topic, because, again, you got to really understand what you're going to bring to the table. Because at the end of the day, you could say, oh, I want a podcast about baking cookies. But you know what? If you look up baking cookie podcasts on iTunes, you're going to see that there's 47 podcasts about baking cookies. What makes you different? Yeah. You know, maybe it's cooking, you know, make baking cookies, and you do the podcast in Spanish if you're a Latino, or you do it in your native language if your language is another language besides English. Maybe it's, you know, doing it in a comedic way. Maybe it's doing a cookie recipe daily. So you really have to find that. And once you find that and you niche that down, again, your ideal listener, who you want this podcast to resonate with, is important, because those are the people that they may pay your paycheck one day. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you got to make sure that you're giving those people what they want. Like, you can't just do it for you, because if that's the case, that's a selfish way to do things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Because the thing is, like for me, it was like, all right, I want to do something with fatherhood, right? When I looked at Apple and I looked at all the fatherhood podcasts, everybody had like the same thing, which was, you know, regular conversations with dads. No knock on that. That's pretty cool. I know I could probably have a better conversation with a dad than maybe like 80% of the podcasters out there. But that wasn't the niche that I wanted. For me, it was like, nah, like what I want to do is I get excitement from being there with my kids and enjoying moments that maybe I didn't have growing up. And that's what I wanted to stick to, where it was like, yo, let's talk about those times when you realized you were a father and how did it feel, right? Yep. What did you do and how did it feel? And that's how I narrowed it down a little bit. So how do you suggest somebody grabs like a regular topic and starts to narrow it down? Is it just by who they're trying to serve?
Well, that's part of it. But I think the other part is you got to stay in your lane. You know, you got to speak intelligently. And you have to be engaging. Now, a lot of times, like, I would talk about MMA or wrestling or video games or movies, and people, they could hear the same content elsewhere, but a lot of times they'd be like, yo, we like the New York accent, or we like, you know, just the way you deliver it. We like the fact that you curse on your show and it's not analysis, you know? So it depends on what exactly you feel is your selling point, your strong suit. And then you kind of just got to dig a little deeper from there. Going back to what you were saying about you know, dads, you niched down because you wanted to talk about the experience of fatherhood, not just, oh, how's it feel, you know, going to parent teacher night, you know, as a dad, you know, like those cookie cutter questions, anybody could ask those. Yeah. But when you wanted to talk about experiences, when you wanted to talk about challenges, you know, because a lot of people like to paint the brighter side of all of what we do. You know, nobody wants to talk about, you know, if you're a young father or a single father and you show up, you know, and you do an event and, you know, you're there and there are a bunch of mothers there and they're like, oh, it's so cute. She brought her dad, you know, and it's like kids got to deal with that kind of stigma. And so do fathers, you know, and the role is reversed also with just it with single parents. Like, you know, like I remember all of my friends, I was in a stage where they were all having kids. And my wife and I were invited to the parties because we were friends with the parents, you know. And it was funny because sometimes they would have parties and they didn't invite us and whatever. And I said, me and my wife would laugh and we were like, we've reached the threshold where we're the weirdos without kids.
You know? You need to go make some.
Yeah. So that's what it was. So it was funny. Like my boy who was like my best man, you know, like I've been – like I pretty much helped him like babysit his kid because his wife was a doctor when she was first born. So like I pretty much watched his daughter grow up, and like there was a point where they were doing like the parties and stuff, and you know, we just didn't go to them either because of scheduling, but also just because, you know, they're doing a party at whatever, like White Post Farms or something. It's like, yo, what are two 30-plus-year-old adults going to do? What, feed goats? You know what I'm saying? Have some bland pizza. You know what I mean? So that ends up being a stigma in itself, and that's what I mean. Like speaking to your truth, whatever it is, because you'd be surprised how much that truth may have in common with other people who just haven't had a way to talk about it.
So do you think that a lot of people don't jump into the podcasting game because they feel that their voice doesn't need to be heard?
That's part of it, but I also feel a lot of people jump into it because they think they're going to get paid off the jump. And that's another thing too. They just think, oh, you know, oh, I do a blog and I do this, so all right, the next thing is a podcast. And it's like, yeah, well, you know what, maybe your writing is better than your mic work, you know what I mean? Like those are realizations. And what I tell people is, like, give yourself 10 episodes, whether you want to pre-record them or release them week to week. Do 10 episodes and see if you can hang for 10. Once you get past the 10 episode mark, you'll realize if you can do this on a consistent basis. And then just be respectful of the people that are consuming your content. So it's like a TV show. You know, you tuned in every Sunday at 9 o'clock for Game of Thrones. There's somebody in Iowa or in Germany or in England that tunes in every Sunday at 9 p.m. that you're to listen to your podcast. So respect that. Respect those people that are willing to consume your content.
Yeah, I mean, I say take it even a step further. Instead of doing 10 to see if you can hang, do 10 to see if you can get your voice together, right? Because I think that's one of the hardest things. Like, I think for somebody new to the game, the hard part is setting up, you know, getting the right equipment and all that good stuff. Then it's the mental game of, yo, how do I sound on this mic? Like, how do I continue my flow? Like, how do I connect with the listener or connect with the person I'm actually talking to, the interviewee, you know what I mean? And it gets a little bit crazy. So I would say, like, start your 10, but also start your 10 to find your voice.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And to find out if you actually like it.
You know what's funny about finding your voice though, man? Sometimes it'll take a long time to figure out a format. Like, I remember when I was doing my original podcast, I was like, all right, it's going to go MMA, wrestling, video games, and movies. And that was the split. And then what would happen was that the fan bases for each of those things would like get annoyed if one deviated into the other, because people were very protective of their interests. So like the MMA guys, they would be like, oh man, now we got to hear this wrestling stuff. And it's like, listen, you have the option for the fast forward button, you know, and I put timestamps for a reason. So what I'm saying with regards to that is, like, sometimes it'll take a while before not only you find your voice and you find your cadence, but you find what just works best for you and the listener. Mm-hmm. So you know, maybe you have some crutch words. Like, obviously, if you're from New York, one of the things is, you know, nah, I mean, or you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
or, yup, or whatever. So, you know, some people may like that. Some people may be like, yo, this guy said, you know what I mean, fucking 60 times. Like, I can't hear this, you know? So you got to figure that out. And it's also, to your point, course correcting along the way. Maybe you do have a crutch word. Maybe you got to fix that. Maybe the crutch word becomes your thing. Maybe the crutch word is the title of your podcast, you know?
Yeah, who knows? So now, you know, going back, like, so now if somebody sits down, they pick a topic, they really, you know, they feel super strong about that topic, right? What about the formats? Because now with podcasting, like when we did it, it was easy. You know, we interviewed somebody like Gary Vaynerchuk and just put the audio up. That was the format. The format was, yo, James is sitting down with Gary V for an hour. We're going to talk. We're going to put it up on the site. Now everybody's talking about, yo, should I interview somebody? Should I have them calling in? How does somebody go about picking their format for those first initial podcasts?
Well, once you determine what your niche is going to be, then you got to ask yourself, is it going to be me talking about this topic every week? Am I going to bring in experts or, you know, subject matter experts to discuss this stuff? And then once you make that determination, then it's just a matter of how you want to structure it. And you have to be respectful of your time plus the people who you want to deal with. It's easier for somebody to pick up a phone and dial into Skype than it is for you to show up at their office and record. It might work sometimes, it might not. I mean, I've done interviews on location for stuff, and that requires its own set of logistics versus when you're doing an interview on a phone, you just make it easy for somebody. You could tell them, like when, before we started recording, it's like, yo, call the Skype in number. Like, just give the person the phone number and have your equipment ready and hit record and make sure beforehand, you know, everything is in sync. And once that's done, you're off to the races. I think that the problem is too many people overcomplicate it and they get paralysis analysis.
Wait a second. We got to touch on that. And the reason we got to touch on that is because me, James Lopez, I should have had the Fatherhood is Lit podcast a year ago. Right. And I did that. I took my time because, first of all, I thought, yo, I'm the man. Like, I did this before. I could just redo it again anytime. False. That's the wrong way to think about it. Secondly, I put in way too much thought into, yo, how am I going to do the format? Is it going to be interview? Is it going to be on site? Is it just going to be me? All of those things. And ultimately, what I realized was that I needed to do what worked for me. I had kids in the house. So I just needed to jump on and just start talking, whether that was with a guest or by myself.
Yep. And that's exactly it. And I think that that's where people, they kind of get caught up on it. At the end of the day, you know, it's, you know, you fail at, you know, 99% of the shots you don't take, you know? Yeah. So it's like, you got to just go out there and hit record. Yeah. And it's true. Maybe episode one might not be the greatest. Episode five might not be, but if you constantly progress and you're willing to learn and pick up on your mistakes, then you'll get to, like I said, episode 10, episode 15, and you're like, yo, I got this. I got a structure. I have a release schedule. I have a way to approach guests. And that's what I mean. And you go, and more importantly, you go and you ask other people, or you join groups on Facebook and you go, hey, I'm launching a podcast, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's the internet, don't get me wrong, sometimes it's a vicious, vicious place. But it's a good place too sometimes. Like, sometimes you could go into a group and be like, hey, I'm just starting out. You know, I'm looking for some guests for a podcast to talk about this. You'd be surprised how many people, the minute you say, I need a guest, will volunteer immediately.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. And I think it all goes back to, like you were saying, like, you know, like actually doing the work. But even with the format, I think something that's very important for the listeners is that your format could actually change. Where 100%. I was coming in and saying, yo, this is going to be the format. This is what I'm going to stick to it. And I didn't really know what I was going to do. You know what I mean? And it, ultimately, what I'm doing right now is still a test. Like, I'm still testing it. Like, maybe a year from now, the format completely changes.
That's right. And that's the thing, too. I think that a lot of people, they think that things can't evolve, things can't change, you know, styles can't adapt. And the problem is that as more and more people come into the space, as podcasting becomes more and more of the norm, you're really going to have to work not only to differentiate your voice, but to bring some sort of value unless, and I say this because there is an unless there, and that is unless you want to do a podcast that's like a life blog or something where you just want to talk about your day-to-day, because some people like that stuff because we are all curious creatures. You know, it's like a car accident happens, everybody has to slow down and look. That's the name of the game. So in that context, maybe that's what it is. Maybe you have an interesting life and you want to vlog or blog and share your life with the masses. And hell, that might be it. Maybe your life is cool enough that people want to do that. And, you know, you mentioned Gary Vee earlier. You know, he did that when he had D-Rock walk around and follow him and film everything he did. People got this insight and all of this stuff. And think about it. The guy's going to the gym. He's playing pickup basketball. He's doing all this stuff. And everybody's just enamored with all this content. You know, and he's just dropping little jewels and everything, little gems here and there. And people are like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This is mind-blowing. I'm like, it's real life.
Yeah, no, they love it.
Right. You could do the same thing. It's no different than the one person you follow on Instagram that does a story that's, you know, 100 stories long. It's the same deal. They're just using a different medium to do it. And guess what? You click through every one of them. Mm-hmm. So they got you because you were curious.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, like, you know, going back to the format and the story and everything like that, it's almost like people are too worried about their numbers, where it's like, how many people downloaded my podcast, how many people viewed it or listened to it, instead of actually just refining your work, right? Where it's like, yo, like, even for me, I have an experience in this world. People know me through tech. I wasn't expecting 1,000 downloads first week. I actually played myself and said, yo, I only expect like 20 listeners, because I didn't want to hurt myself. You know what I mean? Where it was like, yo, I know I could do this, but it's a new vertical. People don't know I exist in this vertical.
Yep.
So me getting 20 downloads felt like I was getting 1,000 downloads. And luckily for me, with the Fat Startup, we had a little bit more views than that. But now with Fatherhood Is Lit, it's like, yo, right out the gate, first episode had 200-300 listens. So I came out winning, but it only came out winning because I totally forgot about it. Where it was like, yep, yo, you know what? Screw this. I'm doing this for me.
But I also tell people, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I tell people, don't become beholden to the numbers. You want to know why? Because think about how hard it is in the real world to get 50 people in one room to listen to just you.
Yeah. It's no joke.
See what I'm saying? So I always tell people, and they're like, ah, you know, I only got 5 downloads or 10 downloads or 15 downloads. And I said, how many times do 10 people stand in one room to hear you specifically speak, just you?
It's impossible. And you know what's crazy, though? But with the numbers, like, people look at the numbers and they say, yo, I got low numbers. This isn't working. And it's almost like you got to play a mind game where you got to switch it and you got to say, yo, because I got low numbers, I could fuck around. Yep. Like, I could test the format, I could test the length, I could test the users or the people, yep, that I actually have here interviewing them. You know what I mean? Like, now you can mess up and the world won't really know. Yep. That's actually the best time.
But you could do calls to action too, because guess what? You could say, hey, you know, I noticed that there's a select few of you guys. You know, I'm hoping you guys are joining me week to week. And you put a call to action, be like, hey, you know, shoot me an email. I'd love to know what you think can be better. I'd love to hear what, you know. And some people are very quick to pull that trigger and critique. And sometimes the critique is great and you gotta, you know, take that L in stride. And sometimes it's not. You know, and you got to come to those realizations and determine, you know, you have to filter through a lot of the BS and take some of the actionable intel, because your listeners are going to be your best barometer. They're the ones that tune in every week or every 2 weeks or monthly or whatever your schedule is to hear what it is you're talking about. So they may have something.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like some of those comments might just be pure hate, right? Where you don't really need to execute on them. So it's like you got to learn to, like, listen to them, but also listen to them with a purpose, but not listen to them just to go execute on what they tell you. Yep. Where it's like you're listening with a purpose, meaning you're hearing what they're saying because you want to get better. But just some of the comments you don't really need.
No, there's sometimes where your detractors, you know, and your critics, sometimes they may be a catalyst for something you were not aware of. You know, maybe you don't let the interviewee, your guest, get their thoughts out clearly, but you think, you know, you're over here being Larry King and you're not, you know, and a listener may call you out on it and you may not know it till you go back and you listen, and you go, damn, you know, this and this and this.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the next topic that I want to talk about when it comes to this is hardware, right? Because when we used to do it with all of these millionaires, like, you know, the Gary Vaynerchuks of the world, people couldn't believe that I was doing it for my MacBook Pro, but I was using my iPhone headphones.
Yep.
People could not believe it. They were like, yo, the quality is way too good for this. And then when they finally saw the videos, they were like, yo, how dare you? Like, how dare you have somebody like him or a billionaire on your show and you're using iPhone headphones? Like, go buy Dre Beats, you know, in studios, $400. And I used to tell them, nah, dog. I was like, I'm good. Like, this is working. So let's talk about hardware. Like, what type of hardware do you need for podcasting?
Well, that my friend, is a rabbit hole that, again, a lot of people, paralysis analysis. Listen, if it's just you, a USB microphone, a good one, you know, a Blue Snowball, something like that, and just a decent pair of headphones is all you need. With regards to the software, you don't even need, like, the Pro Tools or any of that. You could just use a free software, you know, that's out there, which is Audacity. And boom, that's it. That's all you need. And you could just start with that. You could go and buy, and if you want to go a little more, you can pick up a like an Audio-Technica ATR2100, which is a microphone that uses USB, but it also has XLR for you to plug into like a mixer or an audio interface. So
why would somebody need a mixer? I'm oblivious to this stuff, bro. I just go. Why would you need a mixer?
Mixers are good if you want to do sound effects, if you want to have other people in your space. You know, you could plug in multiple microphones. You could plug in a soundboard. You could do sound effects.
So this is more like if you want to change the quality or the sound effects later on, like if you got the paper. But you don't really need it to begin.
Nope. You could do all of that. You could do a lot of that stuff. You know, you could drop sound effects in post-production if you want. You can download soundboard software on an iPad and connect it to your – you know, that's another thing too. If you have like an iPhone or an iPad, you could connect it into a mixer and use that as like a soundboard or to take calls. So that's where a lot of that stuff plays in, like if you don't want to use Skype. Those are all other ways to do it. But all it takes is a USB microphone and some headphones, and you're off to the races.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do it with my headphones, right? Now, as I started doing this one, I went and I bought myself a Yeti, I think it's called a Blue Mic, something like that. I think it was like $100, came with a filter, came with headphones. I'm using my old MacBook Pro to do this. Like, I don't have a sophisticated studio, hence why I don't have video. You know, I don't want you to see the mess in my house. So I think like, especially for a dad that's trying to get a podcast going, I think it takes a couple things. Like, you get your topic, you get a format that works with your timing, right? That just gets your voice out there. And then the hardware, you gotta go cheap because you can't be spending all that money. You got kids now.
And at that, and on top of the fact that sometimes, man, the passion project that you come out of the gate with, you may not like. So then you go, you spend hundreds upon hundreds of dollars on equipment, and then you go, oh, man, you know, I don't want to do it, or I can't do it, or time won't let me do it. So now you got to try and flip all that stuff and try and make your money back when all you needed was, you know, a $50 microphone, or hell, you could just buy a USB headset with the microphone built in, like a Logitech, plug that in, start with that. And get your message out there. The beauty of technology, how it's evolved so much now, is that you could just record your podcast into your phone. Like,
Anchor,
you know,
Anchor. Like Anchor or something like that, right?
Yep, Anchor. Anchor's a great solution. They got picked up by Spotify recently. So, you know, it's like now you just got your phone. You could just hit record and you're off to the races.
So now let me play devil's advocate, right?
Yep.
What about for that dad that's, you know, overthinking things, right? And saying, yo, if I'm using a mic and my phone and I'm using Anchor, then I can't compete with a Joe Rogan because he invested thousands of dollars into equipment.
But see that right there? That's the problem where people want to run before they walk. Listen, I tell people all the time, the Joe Rogans, the Tim Ferriss, hell, even Gary Vee, their podcast success has an asterisk. And that's because they made it elsewhere. Joe Rogan was a successful stand-up comedian, host of Fear Factor, UFC commentator.
Yeah.
So when he decided, I'm going to start a podcast, he already had an audience that was willing to cross over and check out that content.
And even he fucked up, though. Like, even in the beginning, he had some episodes that you're like, whoa, like, this ain't the Joe Rogan we know now.
Right. And on top of that, the guy's doing, you know, 2-3 hour clip, long form format podcasts. So this is a guy that's doing that. And again, you got to be pretty powerful in terms of your presence and your appeal to keep somebody engaged for 3 hours a clip. That's why now a lot of his shows, he cuts up like certain pieces of it and releases that as its own individual content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that goes to the conversation of distribution.
Yep. You have to discover, you know, number one, it's like anybody who wakes up and says, yo, man, I want to be the next Joe Rogan, I tell them just don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't bother podcasting because you're setting yourself up for disappointment. How about be the best you? Create your own audience. Create your own fan base. You know, there's There's a book put out recently by Pat Flynn called Superfans. And, you know, it's funny because it's like, would you rather have 1,000 people that yes you to death and say your content is awesome? Or would you rather have 100 people that hang on your every word? And when you say, hey, you know, we're raising money for new equipment, they open their wallets without thinking twice because they value your content.
Dogs, that's you hit a perfect point. And the crazy part about that is that I think that's one of the hardest things for dads in general to do, because we take a hit with our pride.
Yep. Right.
And it takes a while. Like, even for me, like, the beginning was, yo, I didn't want to put out this podcast until everything was right.
Yep.
Then it got to the point that I told myself, yo, you never did anything perfect and you've gotten this far. Why are you waiting? So it took me a while to mentally prepare myself because I was afraid of the hits. I was afraid that a dad was going to come in and say, dogs, I don't need your shit, man. Like, why I need to listen to this? Like, Disney, I've been there already. Who needs to know about these secret things? You know what I mean? And it was more like I was psyching myself out of it. And this 100%. Is somebody with experience.
We get in our own way more times than I care to admit. And this isn't just with regards to podcasting, but just to life in general. Sometimes we get in our own way instead of just letting the process play out.
Yeah, and taking those lumps.
Yep, you gotta take some lumps, man.
Because I agree with you, man. Like, I love seeing comments from people. I love seeing my DMs. I love when they tell me, yo, this resonated with me. I love it. This is the hottest thing out there. But what I love the most is when that one dude comes to me and tells me, dogs, that shit was trash. Like, the content wasn't for me. Can we talk about somebody else? Can we change the format? I don't get those enough. But when they come, you better believe I'm watching them, because it's like, yo, do other people feel like this too? Like, you got to be able to accept the hit, the loss. The same way we do with parenting. You know, there's times when you take your child to the park and you want them to shoot 10 out of 10 free throws. Yo, they're not going to do that. They might get 1 out of 10, but you're still happy as fuck.
100%. But the thing about that is that too many people, going back to what I said before, you get the comments, you get the DMs, and that's great. But if you turned around and you said, hey, I'm going to release a course on, I don't know, starting a lemonade stand with your kids. I'm going to sell the course for $5. Out of the hundreds of DMs you got, how many of those hundreds are going to buy the course for $5?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And then at that point, that's when you realize the real dedicated fans and the people that aren't. Don't get me wrong, you know, it's like not everything is it goes back to the, you know, jab, 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 right hook. You know, like, I'm giving you value, I'm giving you value, I'm giving you value. Here's the ask. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the ask is, I remember, you know, I forgot, I did my podcast one night and I was just salty about something. And I just turn on a microphone. I'm like, you know, I come on here. I give you guys 3 hours of stuff. I entertain you guys, whatever. Oh, because we were doing a thing for breast cancer awareness. And we have partnered with Komen for the cure. So everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Da, da. And don't get me wrong. We raised a good amount of money. But it's like the people that I was friends with personally, I said, listen, I'm friends with 300 of y'all. Mm. You know, quote unquote, the friends, you know, Facebook. It's like, yo, if each one of y'all put a dollar in an envelope, y'all could donate to this cause. You know what I mean? And then when I realized that, I did it. I did the show. I started editing. And I said to myself, man, you got to quell that inner bitch. Because that's what it was. Like, I was just angry about the fact that here I am, you know, doing something, believing in something, and trying to support something that's a noble cause. And everybody's like, yeah, good luck with that. You know what I mean? And I was angry. I was angry. And the thing about it is that, as a content creator, that anger is going to creep in often, you know, especially when you're doing an event or you're doing a podcast. Like, if you're doing a podcast and you're friends with 100 people on Facebook and you go, hey, man, I did this podcast. Do you mind sharing it? Yeah, I guess.
You might get one or two people that share it.
But, you know, somebody who share a video of a chicken toy singing the Macarena 100 times, you know, you look at Facebook, you're like, oh, I seen this video 100 different times. The same, you know, 100 different people shared it. It's the same thing like with Election Day. Like, a lot of the people who I'm friends with, I got a different opinion of them when Election Day came out. Because all I saw was, you know, all the different political stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo, y'all real ride or die for a bunch of cats that give two shits about you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm trying to create something for you, the XYZ person who's into XYZ thing. And you just can't be bothered. And that's what it is. Like as a content creator, and I'm telling all the dads out there, you got to be ready for that. You got to be ready that some days you're going to wake up and you're going to be like, yo, you know, I put this episode out there and the five people that I know need to hear it could care less.
I think that's perfect. I think that's a perfect way to put it, because it's like when, you know, you get all your stuff together, you put in all your work and you expect support from people, and yep. you have to learn to expect that they won't support you. Yep.
and nothing.
And it's not that your shit is whack. It's that yep. there's many reasons. Like sometimes these people will not share your stuff because it doesn't resonate. Cool. That's one. Yep. Another one might be that they're hating. That you're doing something that they want to do and will never yep. ever do because they're fearful.
Yep. You and know, the thing crazy. About it, and that's the problem. Like you have to look at that stuff and you got to just take it in stride, because what will happen is, and I say this all the time as a content creator, it creeps in. Anger, doubt, resentment, fear. All of it creeps in, but at the end of the day, you gotta quell that inner bitch, and yeah. you gotta decide, like, listen, am I doing this for myself? Am I doing this for my kids? Am I doing it to create a legacy for my content? You gotta figure out what that message is, and you gotta be ready to fight for it, yeah. whatever that belief system is.
I mean, so now we talked about distribution through friends, right? What yep. what are some of the essentials that a podcasting dad needs for distribution, like software wise? Like I know you put me on to what is it called? Audphonics.
Yeah. Audphonics for the audio, for the leveling.
Yeah. So that's a big one. Like, I think that's a big piece of software that people need.
Well, first and foremost, you know, you could record, like I said, you could record in your phone. You could record if you're doing it on a computer. Audacity is nice and free.
Yep.
You download that. And, you know, you watch a couple of tutorials on YouTube and you're off to the races. And, you know, start small. And then, more importantly, don't try to over-edit everything. You know, like sometimes there might be some ums. There might be a lot of this. The most you want to try and get rid of is maybe some dead air. Try and get rid of that. But if you see that there's like a couple of ums in there, don't try and delete every one, because you're going to sound like a robot. So you got to kind of – that's something that you can't – you know, I tell people, like, I can't teach you how to make you sound. You have to discover that. You have to discover, hey, am I going to delete every single word out? Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. Am I going to cut this up this way, cut this up that way? Like, that's not something for me to decide. But Audacity is right out of the gate, nice and free. It's very simple. Yep. And you could start with that. And then you could just, like anything else, it's like baby steps. Once you feel that Audacity is good, maybe you want to go and learn Adobe Audition, because whatever, you use Photoshop or you have an Adobe subscription. Or maybe you want to learn Pro Tools or something else. But do that because, again, you want to do that. Don't do that because you think that's going to help a mediocre podcast become a great podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it can't fix everything. Like I did, you know, my first podcast was with Paul Brunson, and we had the sex talk. And I remember I actually sent that over to you. And I was yep. like, dude, what can I do? Because my heater's going crazy. The gain, which is like the white noise on the mic, was going nuts. And you put it through Audacity. You put it through Audphonics, right? That's what it's called, Audphonics. Yep. Yep. And then you sent it back to me, and I was like, oh, man, this sounds so clean. But we still couldn't get some of the heater noise off.
Yeah.
And it was almost to the point that I was like, yo, do I go bother this multimillionaire busy ass dude to re-record this, or do I just put it out because it's still valuable?
Exactly.
And ultimately, you were the one that pushed me to say, yo, just do it. And it yep. came out and it did its numbers, and the sound wasn't perfect. So that's a testament to the dads, where it doesn't always have to be perfect either. But you have to find software to at least help you fine tune it a little bit. And Audacity is yep. a great free one. The Audphonics, I think I paid like maybe $12 for the month,
yeah,
something
well,
like that.
Well, yeah, because you could do – they give you 2 hours for free with Audphonics. And what Audphonics does is that it levels out your audio. It makes everything sound uniform, and it releases it at the podcast standard for audio. Yeah. And sometimes it'll catch everything. Sometimes it can't. Now, Audphonics gives you 2 hours for free, or you could do, you know, the other stuff.
Yeah, you could buy credits. Like you could buy hourly credits.
Yep, and then the other one, which is an old one, is Levelator. Levelator's free, but it hasn't been updated in forever, but sometimes that does just as good of a job.
Yeah, and all of these things are cheap, because Audphonics, I think I paid like maybe – I think it was like $14, and it gave me like 12 hours or something like that. Audacity, like you said, was free. the next service that you need when you do a podcast is something to like syndicate it or like to give you like the RSS feed, right?
Yep, something to host it. Now, there's a few ways you could do it. You could do it through your own website, you know, if you have
Which is trouble unless, you know, if you're not a techie, stay away.
Yep, if you're not a techie and you don't want to invest in a website or a web presence, you don't have to do that. But there's a lot of great companies out there. Libsyn is one. Mm-hmm. They've been in the game forever. I was with them pretty much when I started in 2006. Spreaker is a good one. Podio, there's a lot of, but Libsyn is like tried and true. Like their price is good. They give you good metrics. And a lot of it is turnkey. Basically, you upload your audio and they set up all the destinations for you, you know, iTunes and everything else. And they'll do all that legwork for you and get you set up.
Yeah. And I think the most, some of those services cost is like $10 to $20 a month.
Yep,
and sometimes it everything
depending on what it is and depending on the size of the file for your podcast.
Yeah, like I use Audio Boom, and I pay $10 a month, unlimited uploads. The only problem is that you could only have one podcast on it, meaning that this is the Fatherhood is Lit podcast. If I wanted to start a new one and call it Dads with Dope Kicks, now I got to go pay another $10.
Right. And then, you know, in that capacity, then, you know, maybe that sometimes you outgrow your provider. That's what happened with Libsyn. Libsyn was my home for my podcast. And then when other guys started coming on board and I started, you know, creating a network of shows, they were like, yeah, you know, you could do it, but you got to pay for each show separately and have separate accounts. And my whole thing was I didn't want to, like, a lot of these guys aren't well versed in that stuff. So I said, listen, you know, I moved to a different service. I pay one set rate. And then I tell all the other hosts to kick up a couple of bucks each month, and that covers it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's, I mean, I think when you, like, going back to the discussion of podcasting while you're fathering, right? It's fairly cheap. It's fairly cheap for you to actually try this and see if it works or not. I think the most you'll probably spend in a month is maybe $20 to $30.
Just
with the distribution and the hosting and stuff like that. Like it's really cheap, and you don't really need to go crazy buying yourself $1,000 mic or a brand new MacBook Pro or, you know, an iMac or whatever the hell you rock.
Oh, you're not wrong there.
Yeah. So now, one of my favorite topics when it comes to podcasting, bro, is when things go wrong. And we had that happen to us before this podcast where I called you and I couldn't hear you. And we were going back and forth for like 10 minutes. Right? Yep. How often does things go wrong, bro? And how do you fix it?
Things go wrong more times than anything. Different things happen. If you're using Skype, you know, Skype has its own set of challenges. If you're using audio levels or anything like that, sometimes your mic is too hot, meaning that your volume is too high. So you got to find a sweet spot. You know, if you're just starting out, it's better to record lower at a lower volume and then amplify it than recording. Because once it's loud, and what happens is it clips, which is when you get static, when you talk too loud, then it's out the door. Like it's hard to salvage that. So there's a lot of different challenges. The most important thing I tell people is regardless of how you're recording your podcast, always have a separate copy recording off your computer, because computers crash, power goes out, this, that, and the other. So, you know, invest in a small digital recorder, you know, plug it into your computer or your mixer or do something, or maybe have a separate software running at the same time to record. But definitely, you know, especially in the early going, if you lose an episode here or there, it happens. You know, it is what it is. But if you're going to put a little money into it, definitely one of the biggest pieces I tell people to invest in is an external recorder, just because things happen, man.
And how much are those?
You can get one like a Zoom H1, and that can be like $75 sometimes or $100. But that, again, not a necessity. But one thing I tell people all the time is to just have a backup recording, because like I said, things happen. Computers shut down. You know, maybe your kid runs by and spills some juice on your laptop while you're recording. Yeah. But that happens a lot, man. Yeah, so you want to have that external recorder. You know, I remember when I was doing my show and I was doing it live, and the power went out in my house because my sister turned on her hair dryer. Mm-hmm. So everything shut off. You know, luckily a recorder was still running, so I was able to be like, hey guys, you know, power just went out in my house. You know, bear with the technical difficulties while we get up and running. But if I would have just been using the audio on my computer, that would have been dead audio for 15 minutes. Yeah. But luckily, I still kept talking into my microphone, and the recorder picked it up, and I was just able to cut it through. And then I knew when I was editing where to cut it out so that it didn't sound like the show even got cut off. Mm. The live listeners noticed it, but when I released it as a podcast, no one noticed.
Yeah, what are you using to edit? You're using GarageBand?
I am actually editing with a software called Hindenburg Journalist. It's a software that's put out for the journalism and for authors that do audiobooks, and it's become really invaluable for podcasting. And it's a little bit up there. Like, the entry level one starts at 100, but then I wanted one that had like Skype integration, all this other stuff, which is a little bit more money. But again, I graduated to that. I edited over 200 episodes of like my Take Radio podcast with just Audacity.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. So, I love it.
So I didn't even make the jump to paid software until then. And there's other stuff out there. There's Reaper, which is like $60. You could do that. It's just a matter of where your learning curve is and how much are you willing to sit down and learn. Like, are you going to sit and look up tutorials on YouTube for certain things? Are you going to do that? If you're not a person that wants to teach yourself other stuff, then start with the easiest stuff with Audacity and just learn how to do basic cuts, you know, basic edits, and then go from there.
Yo, I mean, let me keep it real. Like, I don't want to spend a lot of time editing. I don't want to spend a lot of time scheduling. I don't want to spend a lot of money on equipment. Nope. Yo, I'm cheap, man. And the way that I do it, I got GarageBand through the Mac. Yep. I don't do too much editing. I don't go into file and take out a lot of noise. I let a software like Allphonics do it for me. You know, that's the $10 a month that I spend on that. It's always free stuff. It's GarageBand. It's Audacity. Audacity is a strong tool, but I didn't have time to learn it. So I just went to GarageBand, do what I have to do, go to Audacity, normalize the sound, then send it back up to Allphonic and let them do all the work.
Yep.
And I just keep it moving.
Yep. And sometimes it's just that. You have to be, again, you got to stay in your lane. And it's like, are you a person that's willing to sit there and edit? Like now, you know, when I edit a podcast, I've been doing it for so long that I already know what I got to do. Like, when all of the guys on the network send me their shows, I know, all right, these guys are going to need to get normalized. I'm going to need to cut out a lot of their dead audio. And then I'm just going to need to run it through Allphonic. And then the only thing I tell them to do is to send me their show notes. And then I go through it. I make sure the grammar's good, the bullet points are right. And that's it. Off to the races. So sometimes in a weekend, like, I'll start getting my first show I'll probably get my first show from one of those guys today. So that show will take me maybe an hour to edit, maybe half an hour tops. Mm-hmm. And then once it's edited, I upload it. I either set it to auto publish at a specific time, or I go and I do all the publishing. I publish it and then I just send it out to social and I automate that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way to do it. Like, for me, it's like, you know, I'm building a marketing agency here, mainly events. It's like, man, I have to devote so much time into getting these partnerships and getting these contracts done. Yep. That I don't want to kill myself with a podcast. I just want to have fun with it. So it's exactly. Like, yo, all of these softwares that cost me $20 a month, yo, so be it. It saves me so much time and so much headaches.
And that's what was happening with me. Like, you know, I had one software here, one software there. And like, you know, Hindenburg, it levels out the software. It levels out the audio. It does a lot of that stuff. But, you know, I like Allphonic. I run it through that just because it's just my own workflow. But sometimes you could have a software that does everything and then that's it. You know, it's just a matter of, again, like you said, how much you want to invest, how much time you want to put in, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. So Rich, you gave us a lot. I mean, a lot to digest. Like, I think I even got pieces of topics that I can't even cover right now because we'll have a podcast for like 3 hours. Right. So what are your top three tips for a dad that wants to get into the podcasting game?
Number one, make sure you're comfortable talking about this topic. And when I mean that, I mean, you can spout off about it at the drop of a hat. You know, don't try and be, like I said, don't try and be Larry King. Don't try and be Ted Koppel. Just be yourself. That's number one. You know, if you like to talk about model trains, then hell, do a podcast about model trains. Because I guarantee you there's people across this big green ball of ours that would love to hear about model trains. Yeah, so definitely, true. You know, be true to yourself and start there. That's number one. Number two, don't get paralysis analysis. If you want to do it, hit record and do it. You know, the beauty of hitting record and doing it, if you're not doing it live, is you could scrap it. You could record it in pieces if you want. Maybe you can start recording Monday, record, you know, 20 minutes and then come back, save the file, come back, record a little bit more. And then before you know it, maybe it takes you 3 days to record one show. But you know what? There's no pressure.
Yeah.
As long as, like I said, you set expectations. So number one is that, just be talk about it intelligently and be passionate about what you want to talk about. That's number one. Number two, on a gear, from the gear perspective, don't go crazy. You don't need to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars. USB headset, or, you know, like I said, an ATR 2100 mic, nice and easy. You don't need more than that. And if you want to go even more bare bones, you can record into the Notes app on your phone.
True, true. That's how I did a lot of my stuff.
There you go. And then the last piece is the thing that matters most: be respectful of your audience. So if you want to put out a show weekly and you say, oh, new shows weekly every Friday, then respect that, because you know what? There's going to be people that are counting on you. You may be that person's ride to work every day. You know, maybe they listen to your podcast during their commute. Maybe you're that person's gym partner. Maybe you're that person who is having an off day and they're depressed, but the sound of your voice may make them feel better. You don't know. But you got to be respectful of that. You can't just put out a podcast and then 2 weeks later decide not to, you know, put out a new one. And if you are going to do that, if you run into personal hassles or headaches or whatever that are going to delay your recordings, or all it takes 2 seconds, turn on your mic, go, hey, guys, real quick, I know I owed you guys an episode, but, you know, going through some stuff, a new episode will be available next week. And then just put that piece of audio out, you know, through your podcast feed. And that keeps everybody engaged, and they know. You're going on vacation. Hey, guys, you know, we're going to be going on vacation for the next 2 weeks, so there won't be any shows. You know, either you could pre-record shows to put out while you're on vacation. You could do that. Or just, like I said, be respectful of your audience. No different than your favorite show going on hiatus for the fall.
Yo, I think all three of them are super important. I just want to talk about number three really quick. Number three is, to me, once you get all the other two out the way, which is, you know, believing in your topic and then believing in actually yourself instead of continuing to, like, educate yourself. Number three is important because you never know who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what it means. Like, all you need is one person to tell you, yo, I listen to your thing every week. It keeps me motivated. That one person alone will mean the world to you.
100%.
And it'll force you to do it.
Fire under your ass.
Yeah, and I'm living proof, because we went to Disney, and we were going to be at Disney for 2 weeks. So that means it was going to be 2 weeks that I wouldn't have put out content. But
right.
Because I had dad telling me, yo, I love your content, this keeps me moving, I pre-recorded everything. And I still put out my two podcasts for those 2 days. And believe it or not, people were DMing me telling me, yo, you in Disney, bro. Like, what is this? How did you even get this? And it's like, yo, I did it for you. You know what I mean? I cared about my customer. I cared about my client. And that's exactly very, very important.
And that's exactly it. And especially if you're talking about anything that's a sensitive subject matters, whether, you know, maybe you're talking about mental illness or depression or things like that, things that you know people struggle with, you may be that person's voice. You might be that person's beacon.
Yeah.
So respect that. You know what I mean? Respect that, and your audience will respect you.
That's a fact. So, damn, Rich, you just gave us the starter kit of podcasting while fathering, for real, bro. How can people reach you?
Real easy. I'm not a hard man to find. I'm pretty much on every social media platform. You can look up RageWorks, Rage_Works on Twitter, RageWorksRich on Instagram, because that's like the personal one, and just regular RageWorks if you want to keep up with the work that we're doing.
For sure, and I'll put that in the show notes. To the listeners, you know, we all have a voice that's worthy of being heard. Rich just gave us the blueprint on how to get that podcast going. Now it's time for you to go actually do it. Make your presence felt.